Now, more Bear Facts and Fishtails with Mark and Larry. Join in the show by calling 763-450-0100.
All righty. We've got Tom Nystrom doing the dance on the floor. Folks in the studio audience loves it. Tommy, we're back. Larry?
He probably dances about as good as me.
Here you go. Well, obviously, we thank, it goes without saying, but we thank Commissioner Sarah Stroman for being on with us tonight. That was good. Tommy, what were you going to say?
All right, I got a question for you. This has nothing to do with the commissioner. I read a lot about a lot of different things in fishing. I mean, the three of us, I know, we've had a great career in a lot of things. But Larry, have you paid attention to this new phenomenon, bass bait, the Ned rig?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. It just seems to me like it's kind of, and maybe I'm wrong, and I use it. I guarantee it. It works very well. And I catch quite a few walleye fish this 2 hour chasing bass. But it seems to me a little bit like a jig worm.
Yeah, I think I've noticed that. Well, from about 40 years ago. Yeah. Yeah, it's just a short jig worm, is all it is. It's just. Some guy had a tail bit. What happened was...
One guy...
I'm just going to tell you what happened, okay? He had a Mr. Twister, and he lost the tail. And so he cut the, and just threw the rest of it out and started catching fish. That's probably how it happened.
Well, the guy is a writer. His name is Ned.
Right,
He's been an outdoor writer forever. And he's probably tighter than a bull's behind in fly season. And reached down on the bottom of the boat and pulled out half of a Senko. And when I'm paying $10 a bag for these things, I'm going to use what I got left.
That's right. That's what I said. I
and
used to do that all the time.
It works.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny. I mean, because we've all been using this similar rig for so many years.
Yep.
And guys are saying, "Well, you got to have the right head on it. It's got to trip it up. It's got to do this or that." I don't know. I haven't really seen that. It was very effective, but I think it's a phenomenon. I mean, it works forever,
Well, the same thing happened with the shaky head.
They still won't call a jig worm a jig worm, but they'll call a shaky head a shaky
first
head.
It was a shaky head, and now
same
it's
deal.
The Ned's rig.
And you
don't think that bothers me a little bit?
I go back to 1993 when BASS was up here for the top 100. I think it was 93. And I fished with Tom Mann one day on Lake Minnetonka, and he says, "Man, what do I got to think about?" I go, "You can think about doing anything you want, but you better have a jig worm." "Well, what's that?" And I go, "It's a mushroom head." "Well, no, that's a ball-headed jig." I go, "No, it's a cutback, and the way it falls, ways it presents itself, it's different." So we fished a jig worm the whole time. Caught fish like crazy. He came back for the tournament. He goes, "I'm all set." I go, "Oh, good. Did you find some mushroom heads?" And he opened up his box, and they were all painted up ball head jigs. And I go, "Man, oh, man."
With no keeper on them?
No keeper.
Because if there's a keeper on it, wouldn't have mattered.
Right.
Whether it's
right.
Mushroom or whatever.
But you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's just, he can't do it. It was just comical.
Throw it at you. Yeah. You know what? Great show tonight. I enjoyed it. And,
it was.
Thanks for letting me be part of it. And
thanks.
Always good stuff.
Thanks for your help, Tom, getting it organized, buddy. We appreciate it.
Okay, guys.
Take it easy, Tommy. Yeah.
Take
we'll
care, Tommy.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh man, I would never. I wouldn't. I don't think I'd ever take the job.
It's a tough job, but you know what?
No, I wouldn't take it.
It's a situation where, she totally understands fishing and hunting because she was brought up like you were, Larry, and I was brought up, and many of our listeners. And is very eloquent I think we're really in good hands. I mean, in a whole year, it's been nothing but positives, and and things are being organized and things are being done, it seems, correctly, you know?
But we got to talk just quickly here because, you know, it's a political – anybody who works in state government, it's all political, all right? No matter what she does, she's going to be criticized, all right? That's going to happen. But look at the issues. From AIS, now they want to get the lead out. Now there's another anti-lead.
Yeah.
The DNR actually don't want to hunt wolves from what I read today because they want to do you know, if the wolf, yeah. The AIS, the whole damn deal. And I'm old enough, I went to all the meetings years ago. It started out good. It got too big. It got out of hand. And it feels like the DNR is just talking to us but not telling us anything. That's what I was trying to get across to her, especially on this Mille Lacs issue. So, folks, I'm not anti-DNR. I'm anti-government being too big where people that are experts can't really do their job. You feel me, Mark. You know where I'm coming from.
Well, yeah, you know, if Larry Bolig was standing at the end of his driveway and all the kids in the neighborhood found out he was passing out $100 bills, how do you determine which kid gets $100 or gets a dollar bill from you, Larry?
The first one that doesn't have shoes will get the first $100.
Okay, yeah. Now, if you're the DNR, if you're the commissioner of the DNR, how do you can't single-handedly make something change. You have to work the system. And
right.
That's the precarious part of this gig. And to do justice to it, you've got to educate yourself. And that's what I tip my hat to because, you know, she's working committees, she's working groups, she shows up at the round table. Other elected officials have not. You know, so she's going above and beyond and doing, I think she's finding out what she's capable of making a big change in and what she isn't. And we all know Lake Mille Lacs is just a bad deal. We all know what the deal is, but it's a bad deal. And
I'm not criticizing Sarah Strauman. You know that.
Mm-hmm.
It's the system.
Well, yeah.
It's that simple. What we said before, you need an Ayatollah on Mille Lacs. Good, bad, or ugly. One guy makes a decision. That's what we need.
Well, that's not going to be in government structure, bud.
No, one
guy,
one dictator, only for Lake Mille
Lacs. But, yeah, likelihood of that. All right, 763-450-0100 gets you into Bear Facts and Fishtails. And, doors are open, lines are open, and we've got stuff going on. So we'll continue the mission. What else is going on in your world, Lawrence? Let's talk about this bluegill thing.
There was an article in Outdoor News, a letter to the editor 2 weeks ago, I believe it was now, where the guy wanted him to bring sunfish up from Florida and put them in Minnesota lakes. I think we might have talked about that a little bit.
Yeah, we did. Whether it's Florida or Texas, the same deal.
Yeah. Folks, you can't stock panfish. I mean, it's useless. You just can't do it. They take off by themselves, but I think what I pointed out about the sunfish, the whole system, the way they work, it's pretty easy to understand why you want to let some of these big bluegills go.
Yeah.
Because they actually are best at raising fry.
Right. Guarding the nest.
And reason, if you lose that genetic strain, mm-hmm. then the smaller ones, their genes are carried over and they're smaller and smaller. No matter what you put in that lake, you could put 7 billion northern pike, it doesn't matter. They're never going to get big because you screwed up the genetics. It's not complicated.
Yeah. I broke into a cold sweat when I was reading the article in Outdoor News, and it talked about the fact that they have to legally post at the Axis that there's going to be special regs 90 days prior to the effect going in. And I'm thinking, oh, my gosh. That's just, you know, here's one thing. Once you, it's extremely complicated because the time you take the first 100 lakes and you post those 100 lakes publicly, and then you go and post 90 days prior to, I hope it gets done at a time where there can't be a lot of pressure on those bodies of water. And I mean, I wish those things, I hope they can iron this out if they're going to go through with it and put it towards the end of the spring of the season.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Even if they just do it and it doesn't take at first, people will still be catching them, but yeah.
But they're just, it's like a social media on steroids once you disclose it.
We'll put them up a year in advance and say from a year from this date that they put the sign up, you can't keep it up but five bluegills or whatever they're going to do.
Let's cross our fingers. It's like Pelican Lake, where all of a sudden they open it up to come out and whack them, and then the fish are still there in some percentage of numbers. You know, so you can't take it all the way down. That's my point. So, I don't know.
Well, let's get back to the four-wire limit now. And something Sarah said, excuse me, I don't mean to be disrespectful, folks, when I don't say Commissioner Stroman, okay? I'm not that kind of guy. But anyway, what she said, 25 or 30 years ago, at least that long ago, I was told by the DNR the same thing she repeated in the beginning, that nobody catches a limit anyway. Okay?
Yeah.
And I was also told by a biologist at the time that you can't fish out a lake with rod and reel. Okay, you can fish it down, but you can't harm it biologically. Then why is it that it's only happened on Lake Mille Lacs? Why are we not catching, having limits on any other lake like that? You can't tell me it isn't a political issue, because it is.
Okay.
Chuck Burrows is the guy who told me that, by the way.
You can't
fish a lake down, and no one catches six walleyes a day. Most people don't, and all that stuff. And then all of a sudden, we're overfishing Lake Mille Lacs. Well, what happened to that theory? It applies to all the lakes, but why are they only worried about Lake Mille Lacs?
Well, it's the Mille Lacs.
Yeah.
It's the Mille Lacs deal.
It's a political issue.
Well, it just doesn't need to be talked about. It just drives me crazy, because there's nothing you can do.
Yet we have billions of anglers in Minnesota. That's my point. That's why I asked her what I asked her. That's why I asked if they agree with the amount of walleyes taken. They agree with the bans on the amount of harvest. They agree. That's what she said. I was hoping she was going to say, no, we usually want a higher one, but she didn't say that.
Okay.
So that makes it hopeless.
Okay.
As far as Mille Lacs is concerned.
Right.
So Twiggy the Squirrel, by the way, there's been 10 of them, Mark. Remember that came up a while back?
Yep.
We were talking about Twiggy the
Squirrel.
Knew
that. Yep. Well,
there's been 10 of them.
Yep.
I thought it would be higher than 10.
Well, me too. Squirrels must live a long time.
Yeah, they're resilient.
Oh,
resilient.
Guess what happened? They were shut down by PETA.
Oh,
they wouldn't let. Yeah, I don't know where they were, what city they were in. Anyway, there was an article. It might have been an Outdoor News or someplace I saw it. Maybe it was on YouTube, where they shut her down because it was cruelty to the squirrel population. It was unbecoming of that. And by the way, they brought up then, Mark and Brandon, that's why there's only been 10 of them, because those captive squirrels live a heck of a lot longer than the wild ones.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't matter to PETA.
Nope, they don't, they're not interested.
That didn't matter. No.
Yeah. And it looks like the squirrel's having a blast. I don't know. I've seen video of Twiggy water skiing. And,
hey, who wouldn't want to?
Yeah.
Who wouldn't want the accommodations, the travel schedule, and the accolades, water skiing every day?
Yeah.
And any kind of nut you wanted. You want a walnut? It doesn't matter. You got.
Right, choice. They're taking care of that squirrel. That squirrel's living the life.
Yeah, tell me they're not. But anyhow. Oh, well.
No natural predators for a water skiing squirrel.
It was a squirrel's right to be free. That's what they said. Okay.
Well, that reminded me of the guy. Remember, also at the sports show, the guy who brought the trophy deer, heart attack, the giant deer.
Yep.
Well, he got in trouble for that because he was, they have the, they're worried about the chronic wasting disease and mm-hmm. moving farm deer around the state. So, but, and he refused their ruling and he was like, I'm going to do it anyway. I've committed to this and I'm going. So I don't know how all of that played out, but I know that he was facing some sort of like fines or some trouble for bringing that deer with him. And then he brought it out to St. Cloud too, from what I understand.
Well, transporting. You know, there were so many things in a short period of time to talk about, but hopefully one of the other questions, and we'll talk a little bit more about it, is the transportation of bait and sourcing of bait and bringing live bait into Minnesota, because it's becoming another serious problem.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's escalating. Certainly this year there's been a shortage way before the point of year to date last year. So anyways, we've got to run for a short pause. You're listening to Bear Facts and Fish Tales. Mark and Larry here, inviting your phone calls at 763-450-0100. A short pause and we'll be right back.
Bob Outdoors continues with Mark and Larry on Bear Facts and Fish Tales next. Remember, your calls are welcome at 763-450-0100. That's 763-450-0100.
Dreaming of a new home? The State Bank of Faribault can help with a $7,500 grant. For a limited time, qualified borrowers might be eligible for a up to $7,500 grant towards costs of the purchase of a new home with State Bank of Faribault. To find out if you're eligible, talk with the mortgage team at one of their two locations in Faribault or their new location in Prior Lake. The State Bank of Faribault, creating customers for life. Equal housing lender, member FDIC. NMLS number 638054. This is not an offer to enter into a rate lock agreement.
Here's Bolig for Frankie's.
Number one ranger dealer in the world, our little friend up in beautiful Chisago City. You know, imagine that. You must sell an awful lot of rangers to be number one, and there's got to be a reason for it. And to me, it's really simple. The boss is almost always there, and he really loves to wheel and deal, and you get the best prices. That's so important, especially when you're spending a lot of money. Now, you also need to know that when you buy this boat, it's going to be rigged by professionals. Joe and Bud, his sons, have been in back since they were like 15, 16 years old. Whether they're in their 30s and 40s now, they're real professionals. They go to school to learn how to fix any mechanical problems. They know how to rig these very expensive boats. They have an 8-stall service center in out very quickly. They have other people working in the back room, of course, that know what they're doing. They have a beautiful showroom. They sell Ranger glass and aluminum bass and walleye boats and pontoons. Or maybe you just need to be repowered. It doesn't matter. He will get you the best price. Now, the prices are still good. And if you're thinking about buying a bass boat or a wallet, whatever, you want to get it done before opening day, well, come on, get on up there, get her done. You can give them a call at 651-257-6334 or go online, frankies.net, whatever you do. If you're still thinking about it, don't buy one unless you talk to Frankies in Chisago City, Minnesota first.
The best showcase of Minnesota bucks under one roof is back. The Outdoor News Deer and Turkey Classic is coming March 13th, 14th, and 15th to Canterbury Park in Shakopee. See Michael Waddell and Nick Munt from TV's Bone Collector. Get your antlers scored and visit with over 150 exhibitors. Plus, there's the Wild Trails Kid Zone. Parking is free at the Outdoor News Deer and Turkey Classic. Now at the new location, Canterbury Park in Shakopee. March 13th, 14th, and 15th. Learn more at mndeerclassic.com. That's mndeerclassic.com.
Crystal Welding in Maple Grove is your Hinneker snowplow dealer. Looking to get rid of that unwanted snow this year? Hinneker is the way to go. With their quick attach and flare top trip edge system, makes removing snow easy. Made in Minnesota, Hinneker plows are perfect for residential or commercial use. Have a Bobcat? No problem. Hinneker makes a plow for that too. Crystal Welding in Maple Grove also services all makes and models of plows and salt spreaders. Visit them online at crystalwelding.com.
Let's get back to the important stuff. Bear Facts and Fish Tales. Join the conversation by calling 763-450-0100 right now.
All righty, we're back. Bear Facts and Fish Tales. Mark and Larry, glad you're with us. The number, 763-450-0100 gets you into Bear Facts and Fishtails. And Brandon, we've got a caller, you said, bud.
We do. I got Brent from Buffalo on the line. He's got a question about transporting bait. Brent, you're on with Mark and Larry.
Thanks for calling, hey. Buddy.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Sure.
So, yeah, I was just wondering regarding taking bait from, across other state borders, what would something like that look like with invasive species the way they are right now, you know?
Well, that's...
How would that work?
That's basically the problem, is that a lot of the shiners come from states such as Arkansas, and they're transported up here, obviously, in water from Arkansas. And, they're brought into bait shops and transported and from a dealer, those bait dealers are distributing it to other local bait shops. Now, the point is you start to, bringing in the water, and you're talking about microorganisms that can get through just a cup of water. Mm-hmm. And basically when you think about, as was told to us by a noted fisheries expert, just one cast of a large capacity reel with braided line or Dacron line that holds water, just the spray alone, can send, thousands and thousands of veligers into the water system. So... yeah, it's a real precarious situation, Blair.
Well, the minnows that they're that's a disease that fish. It's a disease that's not the water problem as far as the shiners are concerned. But transporting your water across in the wintertime, I can take my minnows off the lake and take them home and use them again the next day.
Yeah.
In the summertime, you can't do that. Yeah. So it makes some sense, although... when we have millions of anglers and millions of dollars involved where our bait shops can't get bait because of that rule, that's a problem. And, should we shoot all the deer? Is that actually doing any good to stop AIS?
CWD.
We don't know. Yeah. Yeah, AIS with the fish, CWD with the deer.
Sure. I mean... the AIS being a problem, though, in general, I mean, do you not see that as a more pervasive issue? And maybe, being more conservative with the quantities of bait that we do use, because you see lots of folks, dumping, dozens of minnows at the boat launches and stuff like that. Or is
Correct.
There like a, a minnow sharing program, something like that? I don't know.
Yeah. Basically, if you don't use the minnows, you're supposed to dispose of them in a garbage can or a dump site, depending on what they have for you at the ramps. But other than that, it's right back to the bait shop, support the bait shop, buy fresh live bait and go back out the next time. The biggest problem is the distributors, those dealers of minnows and live bait, they're just having a tough time getting product into the state of Minnesota.
Well, fair enough. Yeah. Thanks for explaining that.
You bet.
I appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks for listening, sir, and thanks for the call.
All right. Have a good one.
You too. Bye-bye.
It's kind of hard for the average person, when we've been trying to stop invasive species here for many, many years and a lot of regulations that are very inconvenient and some of them are really bad, and we don't see any progress. So you kind of wonder about that minnow deal, what I'm saying? So we're not against the regulations, but they don't seem to be working, and to make them any stricter, what good is it going to do because it's here?
Well, I think that's part of the situation at hand, no matter if it's AIS with the weeds or AIS with the animals, it's plants or animals, the same situation exists. It's moving around and we're not getting ahead of it. We're doing the best to curtail it, but we keep adding lakes to the list of lakes that are infested. So it's ongoing, never ending, no matter how careful we are. It's just, I think it's the inevitable.
I wanted to ask the commissioner about why we can't drain our water back into the lake that we just drove out of. Why?
I don't know.
But there just isn't enough time in the world to deal with all the crap. You know. But that's something I should write her a letter. I mean, that's something, somebody should write. Why is there a regulation about pulling your plug right at the ramp when you're not blocking traffic? Why would that? That doesn't make sense, does it?
Well, some of the things border on the point of being illogical.
And that's one of them, right?
And that is, to me, because if you were in a lake, you don't want to transport it, so you're doing your best to pull your plug. And from there you go. And the ballasts of boats are complex, down to the point where the boating industry, just like the lure industry, is doing their best to use other materials in place of lead. So boat manufacturers are looking at ways that they can redesign hulls that will be strong enough to support. And Irwin Jacobs was on that path, and Gabriel Javar from Lake Minnetonka, the Caribbean Marina. There's some
building wake boats.
And well, yeah. But it just goes. But it, no matter what you have for laws, no matter how you try to slice this, you still have to have responsible owners of boats to participate and do things as best to their ability. That's all you can ask for. So, all right, we've got callers, Brandon.
Yes, I got Jack on the line. He wants to talk about wheelhouses. Jack, you're on with Mark and Larry.
Hey, Jack, thanks for calling.
Hey, you guys are talking about wheelhouses and Mille Lacs. So, yes, this year has been the worst year for me.
Yeah.
Because they found me out there in my spot.
Yeah.
And they come out every weekend, and fishing just shuts down. That's bad this time of year anyway, but it slows down. But
yep.
It just, and they make so much noise bringing them big suckers in there. In the middle of the night, they're coming in there.
Yeah, well.
And then the worst thing is they come in my driveway. That really makes me mad. But some people don't know what they're doing yet.
Well, that's true. That I agree wholeheartedly that, if you watch, we've all had a little bit of experience, obviously, by the color of our hair. You can tell those that have had a few more years. But every time we go through a change, where we go through a different design of a boat, or we get more people involved in fishing and hunting, there are people that are just ignorant of the laws as we know they are. We started out with a lot less. We didn't have to wear kill switches. We didn't have to wear life jackets. Those things we started to do on our own, and then they were legislated as being a good deal. So you got to do this. And there's a lot of people you still see today, and I've said it so many times on the show, that run the wrong side of buoys. You know it. I know it. Larry knows it. Many of our listeners know what side of a buoy to run onto. And
not
which
always.
Is the
Sometimes
safe?
I forget.
Well, you slow down and you approach it, but you just don't keep going with the throttle down and drive
Sometimes
over.
I do.
But you know what I'm saying? It's
well,
just
we're overregulated. We're overgoverned. I mean, we don't need to be told not to go on the ice.
But the thing is, yeah.
There needs to be some etiquette, too, right? I mean, there's some stuff that's not necessarily illegal, but it's just rude. And I think, once you're in that world for a while, you kind of catch on to those things. But it's not kind of a given, to your point where a lot of these guys are new to the sport and to that lifestyle. They don't know.
Right. It's you're out there fishing, and for years you beat the drum about, make sure, just like a campsite, leave the lake like you found it. If it's clean when you got there, leave it clean. Do your best. If you find a beer can or a pop can, you pick it up, and that's just the way it is. And we're going to go through a whole another group of people continually, year after year after year, that don't know that. So it's a precarious situation. Did we lose him?
Yeah, we lost him. I think we answered his question.
Thanks for the call, buddy, by the way.
I'm getting some awful weird noises over this once in a while. Am I hearing somebody else conversation or what's going on? We have another caller?
Not at the moment.
Nope, not yet. But, go ahead.
I was going to ask you a question, Mark, because the lead issue is coming up again.
Yep.
And I don't know if it was you or, you know that X-ray that they always bring down to the Minneapolis Auditorium?
Years ago, yeah.
The DNR, you know, with a loon with a jig.
Yep.
Hooked in his throat. Somebody told me that they were walking by that display with a radiologist, and he said it was fake.
Potentially it was. I had heard the same thing. And
well, I get so here. You know, my suggestion to the DNR would get real. You know, we're having a problem. People aren't making, tungsten jigs the way like you and I want them to be made. So therefore, I can't switch over. And we're not going to get into that. I can understand. I don't understand why the DNR don't go, all right, let's just put a date on the time when we have to. Sinkers are much more easily lost than jig heads and much more apt to be swallowed by birds than a jig with a hook on it. Agree? Maybe, legislate, start with the sinkers, which already are being manufactured.
Well, they have. If you back up, there is number one, there is so much product on the pegs at retail. Okay? Mm-hmm. And what do you do with that? It's a real precarious situation.
You have to set a deadline, like 5 years, whatever it takes, because I understand all that.
You can, and they did try that, but they didn't get the support because partly to do with the anglers didn't want to pay the extra money for the lead, and then they said, well, here, this is just as cheap. But then they were cheap hooks, and then they weren't painted. You know, this goes back and forth and back and forth.
Yeah.
Manufacturers... Cool. Dealing with legislation that and mandates that come through California, who's pretty
makes it worse. Yeah, you can't.
So let me just say it this way: in the world market, there has been a move to reduce the amount of lead used because it's been passed down and mandated. Okay,
and so
zinc has been used as an alternative. But zinc, it takes more mass to equal the same weight as the lead.
Right. So
your jig heads are going to be bigger, and that's going to affect some movement in baits, obviously, but it's going to affect some jigs. And you can use tungsten, which a lot of people are using tungsten, but it's extremely expensive because you can't pour it like lead. It has to be two-part construction, so to speak, and affixed together by temperature. So you're talking about an extremely expensive process, and it's not that simple. It's just, I'm just talking in generalities, buddy. It's all been done.
Small tungsten jigs, okay, and I know how much they cost. All I'm saying is somebody would make a jig that you and I normally use, like the Mr. So I would start buying them. And I'm worried that all of a sudden they're going to come down with a mandate and you're sitting there with,
But
you don't have anything to go fishing with.
But I'll play devil's advocate. It's just like trying to control what goes in and out of a body of water at the public accesses when there's private accesses on a body of water. So the people that have lead and molds in their houses and have been molding jigs forever, they're still going to do it. It's a move to operate as best as possible. And as
it's
logical
like banning
as
guns. There, people are going to break the law if they ban guns. I understand all that. But I might decide I'll go ahead and pay more for a good tungsten jig for fishing for bass. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. As long as there's no pike, and then you start going through
that. I'll put the leader on there. I'm on a fixed income.
763-450-0100, and we've got a caller, Brandon.
Yes, I got John from Blaine on the line. He's got a question about invasive species. John, you're on with Mark and Larry.
Hello, John.
Hey. Good evening to you.
What's going on, buddy?
Well, my question is about these invasive species. Are they in lakes that have no public access? Private lakes, are they getting into those? Are they, like, getting into the boundary waters?
Well, basically, they're in public lakes, public ponds, public rivers and streams, and they're also in private ponds, lakes, and, yeah, they're pretty much most everywhere in some form or fashion, whether it's plant invasives or it's some form of a fish. We'll say from spiny water fleas to whatever. We've got such a variety, it's hard to focus on one and say, okay, we'll start here. You know, you got to start with the whole way to try and slow down all of the above. And that's the biggest problem that the DNR is facing.
Boats and trailers sped it up, but animals also transfer
it. Yeah.
So that's all that happened. And they're, you know, but when they say they're going to stop it, that's a laugh. They can slow it down. That's all we can do.
And we've all been supporting.
So when they outlaw boats in Minnesota, God forbid, the invasive species will still be being transported.
Correct.
Absolutely.
Take all the boats out of the equation, and it'll still get moved around. Yes, to answer your question.
Absolutely.
So there's really no answers for it, though.
No, just do the best you can.
We just do the best we can.
Yep.
Clean your boat, get rid of your bait properly, and just do the best you can. It's just like trying to be a good citizen, no matter what. Okay?
And don't take more fish.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, John. Appreciate it. Bye-bye. All right, we've got to run for a short pause. You're listening to Bear Facts and Fish Tales, Mark and Larry. Phone number 763-450-0100 gets you right in. A short pause. We'll be right back.
Bring the outdoors home with you. Mark and Larry have more Bear Facts and Fish Tales for you. No fillet house needed on Bob Outdoors.
The Minnesota Weapons Collectors Association has been promoting safe, responsible firearms ownership since 1954. Don't miss the MWCA Gun Show at the St. Paul River Center Saturday and Sunday, February 22nd and 23rd. Showtimes are from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Saturday and 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Sunday. Dozens of vendors and tables. Buy, sell, or trade firearms, accessories, and collectibles. Admission is $7, 12 and under free. Under 18 must be with a parent or responsible adult. For more information, check out the MWCA Facebook page or visit MWCA.org.
Dreaming of a new home? The State Bank of Faribault can help with a $7,500 grant. For a limited time, qualified borrowers might be eligible for a up to $7,500 grant towards costs of the purchase of a new home with State Bank of Faribault. To find out if you are eligible, talk with the mortgage team at one of their two locations in Faribault or their new location in Prior Lake. The State Bank of Faribault, creating customers for life. Equal housing lender, member FDIC. NMLS number 638054. This is not an offer to enter into a rate lock agreement.
Here's Bowling for Vexlar.
They've been in business for over 60 years. You know, they're down in Bloomington, Minnesota. I've known the owners and the guys since probably 1981 or 82. I had my first ever unit from Vexlar. It was a paper graph. And since then, well, they've gone miles and miles. They lead the world in ice fishing technology, starting with their first ever FL8 three-color flasher, which I've got about 1987. I got that, and I still have it, and it still works. Now I use the top of their line, which is the FLX XLF28, which has got, you know, it's fancy. It's got an automatic depth range. You turn it on, you throw the transducer in the hole, it gives you a digital readout, okay? It's got brushless technology, which means it'll never wear out. You choose the color. It's a five-color unit that's right for you. It's definitely the Rolls-Royce of ice fishing technology as far as flashers are concerned. And by the way, I use my FLX28 on the boat. Now, they make a lot of different packages for ice fishing. So you can go online at vexlar.com and see the different things they have to offer you, because they don't have everything in the retail. So if you can't find it in retail, go online, see what they have to offer, all kinds of gadgets. And one example would be, if you want a digital readout and you own an older model Vexlar flasher, You can buy what's called a DD100, plug it into your existing program, and you will get a digital, all kinds of stuff they got there. Give them a call at 952-884-5291 or go online at vexilar.com. Whatever you do, don't go ice fishing without your Vexilar.
The ice will melt soon. Get out and fish in a premium sleeper ice house from Minnesota Recreation Rentals. Select premium ice houses are available on Brainerd area lakes for just $175 a night, Sunday through Thursday, or on weekends, buy two nights at a third for half price. Take advantage of these low prices now. Limited availability. Reserve now at icefishmn.com. For best availability and these special rates, reserve now at icefishmn.com.
Crystal Welding in Maple Grove is your Hinneker snowplow dealer. Looking to get rid of that unwanted snow this year? Hinneker is the way to go. With their quick attach and flare top trip edge system, makes removing snow easy. Made in Minnesota, Hinneker plows are perfect for residential or commercial use. Have a Bobcat? No problem. Hinneker makes a plow for that too. Crystal Welding in Maple Grove also services all makes and models of plows and salt spreaders. Visit them online at crystalwelding.com.
Now, more Bear Facts and Fishtails with Mark and Larry. Join in the show by calling
763-450-0100. All righty, we're back. Bear Facts and Fishtails, Mark and Larry here. Glad you're with us. The phone number to participate is 763-450-0100 on the Mighty Bob Radio Network. Yes, sir. What else is going on?
Well, we could reiterate something. Steve Carney was writing his article. I read Steve Carney's in Outdoor News. You know, he's a good guy, good friend of mine. Talking about releasing crappies in deep water. Folks, remember that. Part of the reason why the DNR... you know, instigated this catch and release deal where you're going to get mortality is because people do screw up when they're releasing fish. So they count that against your quota on Lake Mille Lacs. But the same thing's going to happen sooner or later with crappies and bluegills. I mean, if you're catching fish in water deeper than 30 feet and you're releasing them, a lot of those don't get to the bottom. And I know experienced anglers already know. Keep that in mind. Don't keep catching and releasing fish in deep water. Don't do it. Go to another spot. Catch your limit and go home. Or go to shallower water. Whatever you have to do, the same thing and not taking too many big bluegills. It's all up to you. It's up to us. Don't take a limit of walleyes. Take two. Whatever. We don't have to. It's up to us to save the environment. That's basically what it is. Not the politician. It's up to us. Common sense.
Agreed. The government can't do it, but people can. No. You can. I can.
Little by little.
Yep.
But common sense legislation, not crazy stuff. Like that squirrel that was perfectly happy on a water ski. No, we're not talking about that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Twiggy.
Yeah, the you know, as of late, it's been for the past few couple of years, you know, bluegill and pan fishing is obviously, I mean, you and I did it a lot, and it was the focus because you're running and gunning and looking for schools and trying to find them, and they were prevalent in, you know, shallow water, deep water, whatever, in weed beds and sand pockets. Yeah, you scoured, and if you caught some good ones, I'll never forget the time we got the big tip, and you remember it well, about meeting up with Gens, and we were going to go and fish a lake that had some giant bluegills in it, only to get there that morning on the snowmobiles, and by the time we drove around the point, there were how many other guys sitting on the very spot?
Well,
so
there weren't no wheelhouses anyway.
And, well, you know, the bottom, you know, the... in all seriousness, there was no social media. We didn't even have cell phones. And it was us. You know, that we're supposed to keep things quiet as best we could, and there were a lot of great lakes with great fishing that went on that were kept close to the vest. But even at that time in those days, with very few anglers out there, you know, here a great spot was, you know, just getting hammered. So, and that was one morning, one afternoon, and there you go.
Well, but they did use their telephones back then. And so you're right. You know, we can't. If you have a good lake and it's not being overly pressured, and it's like the guy said, the wheelhouse has found his spot. You know, I had a laugh when he said that.
Yeah.
It's really hard not to brag. I know it's hard, you know, not to say I got this lake. So you tell your best friend, you trust your best friend, and you find out he's going to rat you out because he's got to brag. That's the way it works.
Well, look at it this way too. If you take a spot or take a particular lake and pick a species of choice for a particular lake, what is your thought about what gets more man hours? What gets more angling pressure hours? Is it open water fishing or ice fishing?
It's actually ice fishing.
Right.
Although most people don't really fish constantly, but they got a line down.
But the precarious part is that during the course of that one winter season, if people don't move, that was the beauty of portable houses. You'd be on a spot for a while and you'd hit it and you'd get them, and then all of a sudden you'd just go, okay, I'm out of here, because the bigger the pile of sunflower seeds that get around the hole, the more obvious it is that there's something going on here. And the problem with wheel or with fish houses in general, once the little community starts, you've already exposed it. And that's been going on. And that's not a wheelhouse thing. It's just fish houses in general. It's the way it's always been. All right, we've got a caller, Brandon.
Yes, I got Petey from Frankie's on the line. Petey, you're on with Mark and Larry.
Petey,
what's happening?
Oh, Petey. It's going real good. We just finished up our third annual Frankie's Panfish Championship, and it was a huge success. And yeah, I just figured I'd call in and let everybody know that it was a good time.
We appreciate that. What was how was the activity? Though there was a lot of the weather could have been a little better. How did it fare for you guys?
It was actually really good. We like say the tournament field was full, and
nice.
Our store was packed, and a lot of really nice panfish were caught through this tournament.
Okay, so you could get out and about wherever you want. And what lakes was it limited to, or was it?
No, we had it. It was limited to Chisago and South Lindstrom Lake, which pretty much 100% of the field was on Chisago.
Yeah. There you go.
You had a pretty good turnout, but if I would have had an email last year telling me about it, I might have advertised it.
Gotcha. Well, why I'm calling in now. Frankie said, hey, Petey, why don't you get on the horn with the boys and let everybody know?
After it's over, go ahead, buddy. So how did it go?
Yeah, it was real good. It was 8 sunnies and 8 crappies.
Okay.
16 fish total, and it was 9.35 pounds won it, but there was the top 5 was 8.5 pounds or bigger. So it was a real good showing.
Wow. What did you get any idea of? Was there a depth that was hotter than others, or did a shallow bite go better than a deep bite, or because you've got it all
bite.
There? Really good.
Yeah, it was a shallower bite. A lot of the guys were up nice, tight, and close. So
okay,
but they were scattered out, and they kept working for them and fished hard, and it definitely showed. They brought in a lot of fish to the scales.
Frankie's got a road out there now, right?
Yes, yep, it's plowed, and we maintain it all the time. So,
and the bait problem at Frankie's, live bait and marine, is that's not a problem either.
No, we're still doing good at that.
Good.
Frankie's boys are still hitting the traps real hard, so we got bait.
If that was his only job, he'd be a happy man.
You betcha. Puts a smile on his face every day.
He'd rather be playing with his minnows than... Well, whatever.
Well, that's good. And the boat show was good for you guys, we heard.
Yes, yep, it was good. A lot of positive stuff on the new 620 Fisherman Pros that came out. So Rangers doing a bang-up job on everything.
There you go.
Well, you can take care of them up there. But then generally, though, the pan fishing in the Chisago Lakes area is no problem. I mean, people are getting out and all that, right?
Yeah, there's not much snow in the lakes. I mean, you can travel pretty much everywhere. The lakes around here are packed, and a lot of positive responses. So
okay, good. Well, Pete, we appreciate the phone call, buddy.
All right, well, it's good talking to you guys, and you guys have a good rest of the night.
We will. You have a good week. Take care.
Thank you.
Pete over at Frankie's in Chisago City, Minnesota. All right, we're going to run for a short pause, and that means we're going to be right back.
Missed part of Bob Outdoors? No problem. Just click on the Weekend tab at mybobcountry.com to listen back to Bear Facts and Fish Tales anytime. The Bob FM Chillin' and Grillin' Giveaway is your opportunity to win a brand new Traeger grill from the Blaine VFW. Just submit a picture of you chillin' and grillin' in Bob Country by February 20th. Get full rules and submit your picture online at mybobcountry.com. It's the Bob FM Chillin' and Grillin' Giveaway.
The ice will melt soon. Get out and fish in a premium sleeper ice house from Minnesota Recreation Rentals. Select premium ice houses are available on Brainerd area lakes for just $175 a night, Sunday through Thursday, or on weekends, buy two nights at a third for half price. Take advantage of these low prices now. Limited availability. Reserve now at icefishmn.com. For best availability and these special rates, reserve now at icefishmn.com.
Crystal Welding in Maple Grove is your Hinneker snow plow dealer. Looking to get rid of that unwanted snow this year? Hinneker is the way to go. With their quick attach and flare top trip edge system, makes removing snow easy. Made in Minnesota, Hinneker plows are perfect for residential or commercial use. Have a Bobcat? No problem. Hinneker makes a plow for that too. Crystal Welding in Maple Grove also services all makes and models of plows and salt spreaders. Visit them online at crystalwelding.com.
Let's get back to the important stuff. Bear Facts and Fish Tales. Join the conversation by calling 763-450-0100 right now.
All righty, we're back. Bear Facts and Fish Tales. Mark and Larry, we're glad you're along with us, and we want to thank DNR Commissioner Sarah Stroman for taking the time to come on this evening at 7:30 and sticking with us till 8 o'clock. It was great. Thanks a lot. So anyhow, we have a caller, Brandon, you said.
I do. I got Chris on the line. He wants to talk river regulations. Chris, you're on with Mark and Larry.
Hey, Chris.
Hey, guys. Heard a lot of grumblings. I know there's some meetings down about the border regulations down there in Pool 4, Pool 3.
Yep.
Any thoughts? I know they're talking about lowering the slot. I don't think they've posted the official yet. Have you guys heard any more?
No, I have not. What's a proposal?
Well, I heard they're dropping from 6 down to, I think, around 3 or 4 walleyes. Four. And then I haven't heard the official. I don't think they haven't posted it yet, so I can't find any more info.
Would it bother you if they went to 4?
Not at all. No, I've been fishing down there for years. I think
they've been talking about this for about 5 years now, and it never comes to fruition. I don't know why it wouldn't. I don't think it would stop anybody from going down there, and I don't know whether it would make it better or worse for fishing, but certainly wouldn't hurt the ability for people to go out and eat some fish if they choose to. So there really is not a problem here if they would pass it, is there?
No, I agree. I think if they, tighten it up too much, places like Everett's or, Red Wing might hurt and slow down the spread, but I'm for it.
Yeah. I think most people, even in Iowa, are people that probably realize now you don't need to keep that many fish. So I personally don't feel it's a problem. I don't think it'll help. I don't think it'll make any difference. Fishing's pretty good down there anyway. I think it's a feel-good legislation.
The river system is—it's one of those bodies of water, and certainly it's—I wouldn't consider it to be fragile, But when you take, you know, those pools 3, 4, 5 and so on down the river system, those things afford an opportunity to us to fish earlier in the season and later in the season. So I think I don't think the pressure is as great as what we think it might be, and I don't really know why they would change anything.
Yeah, for my years down there, that it's a factory. I mean, the yep. reproductor is phenomenal.
Yep.
I know right now I just pulled my boat out last week. It's in the driveway getting ready for next weekend. I'll be down there.
There you go. And you have to then you have to admit it's probably one of the most beautiful places in Minnesota, Wisconsin, obviously Minnesota-Wisconsin border, but the Mississippi River, that stretch heading south to Iowa is just breathtaking at times. All right.
Absolutely. Hey, thanks, guys.
Thank you for the phone call. We appreciate it. Good luck.
I'll tell you one thing. I miss it. I miss it. A nice day in February, you can go down there and catch fish.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a beautiful area to spend, and in the fall with the colors changing, it's just hard to beat. And sometimes you sit out in the middle of Pepin and you're fishing a point off a shoreline. You look across to the Wisconsin shoreline, and you see a railroad, you see a train coming, and it looks like you're looking at a model train going through, like the town of Pepin. It's just a gorgeous area to be in with all the bluffs and coulees and. In such
the
and trees,
you and I, as I look at the cliffs and I see an Ojibwe on a pinto.
Yeah. Well, you have everything up there.
What's that cliff just south of Lake City on the Wisconsin side? Maiden Rock.
Maiden Rock. Rock.
There's an Ojibwe. He'd have been a Lakota. Yep, that's it. Somebody should paint that picture.
All right, we're there. We missed the Grizz. He must have fallen asleep on the chair. Take it away, Lawrence. It's the guy on the horse. Good night, everybody.
The guy on the horse, Roy Rogers. This is Bob Radio, Brandon, Mark, and all the people who listen to this dribble. Thanks.
Night, Larry.
Again, happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then. Who cares about the clouds if we're together? Just sing a song and bring the sunny weather. Happy trails to you. Till we meet again.
That should tide you over for a while. Bob Outdoors, wrapping up another great weekend. The guys will be back next Sunday at 6. If you missed any part of Bear Facts and Fish Tales or the Four Outdoorsmen, jump on mybobcountry.com and click on the Weekend tab. You can listen back to the shows anytime you need a quick trip through Bob Outdoors, sponsored by the State Bank of Faribault.